Hey, bad movie lovers. It's me, your host, Nick Scheist. And I wanted to let you know about our new partnership with Artist Bookkeeping. As a podcaster and producer, I'm focused on developing a good show for you and getting the show out to more listeners. But behind the scenes, there's a lot that goes into running and maintaining a podcast network. Between hosting fees, equipment, studio rentals, website domains, security essentials, and probably a few other things I'm forgetting, there are a lot of expenses to keep track of. That's why I turn to Artist Bookkeeping for help. After a quick discovery call and free assessment, plus a look at the results together, I walked away with a full picture of my business's financial situation and a clear, flat fee quote with no long-term commitment. But most importantly, I came away with a partner I can really trust. So now I can focus on growing the show, knowing that I have someone in my corner to look at the numbers and give me fair, honest guidance. And I love that it's a real conversation, not just a report. So if you want clear numbers, predictable cash flow, and a partner you can trust, go to artistbookkeeping.com today to schedule your free consultation. That's A-R-T-I-S bookkeeping.com. Bookkeeping is an art, so choose Artist Bookkeeping.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see," and I saw. And behold, bad movie futures.
Hello, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special preview of Bad Movie Futures, the new members-only series here at Bad Movies We Love. What you're about to hear are the first 15 minutes of the episode I recorded on Bone Lake with Race Decanis from Vampire Detroit, Who Would Win Masters, and Knowing is Half the Podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to become an official card-carrying member of the Resistance Frontlines, make sure that you check the show notes and stay tuned at the end of the preview for details on how to sign up. In the meantime, I hope you enjoy the preview. Race Decanis is here from Who Should Win Masters and Knowing is Half the Podcast.
It's Who Would Win Masters,
who
of course.
Who would win? Sorry, my mistake. Who would win, not who should win. That's a whole different conversation. And
now, who should win is what we're trying to convince the people of. Who would win is what we ultimately determine on the show.
That is the deciding vote. And also the creator.
No, but I'm very excited to be here on the movies, bad movies that we enjoy sometimes podcast. It's really excellent.
Yeah, sort of, maybe sometimes we do.
Sometimes it happens.
I just now realized that we have almost the exact same glasses as well.
Well, you're wearing the Ray-Bans, right?
These are not Ray-Bans, no.
Oh, see, mine are Ray-Bans. My name is Ray. I saw they offered Ray-Bans. I say, I kind of got to do that in celebration of the time I got banned from Burger King.
Oh.
We don't talk about that any further.
We shouldn't. I mean, if they make Nick bands, I would probably buy.
Oh, you do have to be on top of it.
Yeah. I mean, they sell them at the flea market, though.
Yeah, they're right next to the Adudu's shoes.
Exactly. Well, thank you for being here. We're going to have some fun as we talk about a movie that I think you and I both acknowledge that maybe many people actually have not seen or didn't see at the time that it was out originally, but now that it is on Netflix, there's a possibility that it is doing better. I saw the director had posted in her bio that it was a top 10 debut on Netflix. So I'm just taking the word of the director, Mercedes Bryce Morgan, that Netflix told her that your movie's doing well. So I think it's a better time actually probably to talk about this movie than it was a year ago.
Definitely.
When it came out. You had mentioned that this was your first time watching it. It wasn't something that you had went and sought in theaters. So just tell me a little bit about the experience of watching it for the first time.
Absolutely. See, I first became aware of this movie. It came on my radar last fall when I saw a movie called The Strangers Chapter 2 in theaters. And this was one of many kind of low-budget horror films that had trailers right before. And I saw this is the one that really stood out to me compared to all of the other ones as being like, I think this is the one I'm the most interested in. I wasn't really sure after watching the trailer exactly what it was about, other than attractive people in threatening situations at a lake. And that's really all I knew. I didn't know like the general vibe of the movie. I didn't know how many characters would be involved. I didn't know a lot of things. And even having seen it now, what I thought going in, what I was about to watch, definitely did not mirror what I actually saw when I saw the movie. They really kind of sold it one way and then delivered something very much else. And we'll crack that open as well. But I watched it last night on Netflix, and it was definitely a trip. It's weird that a movie packs all of its violence, all of its why you're there to see it, in the first 3 minutes and the last 3 minutes of the movie. But that's Bone Lake.
Yes, it is Bone Lake. And I mean, as the people can see behind me a little bit with the poster, like obviously the poster, like with the red and black motif with all the skulls in the lake, seems like the kind of advertising you would want for what is probably being marketed as a more conventional slasher, I'll call it, because you have the couples, you have the sort of like weird meet cute, there's the lake, there's the secluded house. Like it has all of the tent poles of the slashers that we're used to. And I mean, to its credit, a guy gets shot in the ball bag with a crossbow, and we get a nice close up of that in the first 3 minutes.
Sure
so
do.
It seems like the movie is going to be a gory sort of like hunt people down in the woods approach. However, it's way more relationship drama than I ever would have expected. And my initial takeaway with the movie was I was like, is this just going to be like a conventional sort of horror film that we've seen before, and we're just like waiting for the other shoe to drop? And that like sort of kind of is the case, but also not exactly. And I felt the first time a level of like boredom waiting for the killing to start, right? But my ultimate takeaway at the end of the movie was that, you know what, I actually like the subversion of my expectations here. We do get some gory stuff at the end, and it's much more of like a psychological cat and mouse game than it is a slasher. And so to me, it sort of feels more in like psychological thriller territory than what I would have guessed from the poster, right? So I don't know. Do you think this lands squarely enough in horror territory to appease horror fans?
No, but I do think it appeased me. I think that, you know, the level of gratuitous nudity and violence in this movie, there's enough of it, I think, to satiate a lot of horror fans. If you're coming into this expecting a slasher motif, you know, I honestly thought I was going to see something more akin to The Strangers or Your Next, which is, you know, a much better version of that type of movie, and it's subversive all on its own. I was expecting to come into a movie once we had the setup and sort of like, gosh, was it Barbarian? It was kind of the same setup where groups of people have the same Airbnb. So it's literally just a send up of that story, and that we're just going to have couples and we're just going to share the house. I was expecting an external force to come in and menace the four of them together when the movie first started, because you're sort of, that's what you're led to expect in a movie like this. And what it is instead, and I'm assuming we're going full spoiler cast on this.
Yep, we are.
So what's wild about that is the opening scene, as you said, is a naked couple running through the forest scared, injured, you know, dirty, just absolutely running for their lives from somebody who's chasing them with a crossbow, speaking of Your Next. And so they're sort of playing with that. They're being chased through the woods. At one point, the man basically is like, lady, you're slowing me down. So you can tell that their relationship might not be great.
Yeah.
they're not trying to die for each other at that point, or even work together to survive. He bails on her. He takes the sweet old close up of the genitalia pierced with an arrow through both ball bags. And that's sort of like your signature piece of the movie. when I think about this movie, that image, unfortunately, is the one I'm going to take with me. And it's in the first like 2 minutes of the movie. Right. And so you have this expectation of, OK, we see where this could end with people being chased naked through a forest, getting murdered by crossbows. Right. And then it doesn't really deliver that the entire rest of the movie. So, yes, it is. It's about relationships. It's about psychotic people who like to mess with other people's relationships. And it's about kind of coming together or falling apart when things are stressful as a couple. And that's what the movie's actually about, Bone Lake.
It's funny you mentioned like the ball bag shot being sort of like the thing that this movie does that maybe we don't see in other horror movies. And that was the one that they like spent the prosthetic work on. Mm-hmm. So I understand like wanting to showcase that. And it's like, you're not going to see that too often, but we have the woman in that situation, like getting impaled on a tree just because it's like, hey, you run in the woods. And of course you always fall down and there happens to be a sharp object. I don't know. I was like, I felt kind of like cheated out of her death in that situation, but I get the picture that, hey, people are going to get hunted down in the woods. Got it. I too had the sort of inkling that there was going to be an outside force hunting these four people down. And I don't know about you, but as many times as I've booked an Airbnb in my life, I've never booked it at the same time as another person and just been like, oops, let's cohabitate. Right. never happened. I mean, maybe I'm just like a cabin in the woods away from making that happen. But yes, we ultimately find that that like is not true. We get the sort of flashback scene where we see the setup for everything. So like the curtain is sort of pulled back maybe a little bit too soon, but there is a secondary curtain pull that is coming later with more exposition. But looking back at the movie, having a second watch at it, that moment where the man ditches the woman in the woods and is running is kind of like a weird microcosm of like what the actual game that they're playing is all about. It's like testing the strength of a relationship through these like very harsh external pressures that include hunting you down. And I was actually a little bit surprised watching it back how quickly the movie begins to get into its tension, because I looked and I was like, we're 15 minutes in and they're already like into the relationship stuff. There's not like, oh, there's these happy couples and like, you know, we know something sinister is going to happen, but we're just like waiting to pierce the veil. In this case, I was like, oh, you're really telling us that there's a lot of stress in this relationship at the time that they arrive. And I found that to be an interesting approach, because the movie then leans so much into like these things of like infidelity and trust and communication. Like it's actually really pretty well layered for a relationship commentary type of movie that we don't see that kind of stuff in horror movies. Like we're used to relationships. There's obviously some push and pull sometimes in those. And maybe like the guy is a dick and he leaves the girl behind. Like we've seen stuff like that, but to get into the details of this woman like sleeping with her ex-boyfriend and then this guy still wanting to propose. And then we, you know, we hear about, you know, their struggles in the bedroom and stuff. I felt like there's a lot of detail like on the page in the writing for that. So is this something that worked for you or worked, I guess, against you in how this movie wants to tell its story?
This is what the movie is. And you kind of take a look at this. The Strangers, the original one, sort of was a very similar beginning in that in that movie, he had just proposed and she said no. And then they go back to their Airbnb house, miserable, crying, half drunk. But this is a very like adult movie in both contexts. This is a movie that you kind of have to be a little bit older, I think, to appreciate, because you look at all of the strains on their relationship coming into. Remember, you've laid out some of them, but let's just lay them all out.
Yeah.
So essentially, they're going to this Airbnb in the cabin in the woods, middle of nowhere on Bone Lake, Why? Because it's their last chance to be around each other and like really enjoy each other's company before in a period of hardship's about to start. She is literally putting her dreams on hold so that she can be the main breadwinner in their relationship, yeah. Right? They're not married, but she's putting her whole life on hold so that he can write a novel, and she doesn't even really think he's a good writer. She doesn't think this is actually going to work deep down. They really say that without saying it, right? Yeah. And so this is already a stressful situation because she's taking on extra work pressure for, in her mind, subconsciously at least, no good reason.
Yeah.
You know? But on top of all of that, like 3 months into their relationship, she slept with her ex-boyfriend. And so he's constantly got that chewing at the back of his mind all the time. I mean, is she just one more, you know, a weak moment away from cheating on me again, right? Why am I? And then he also feels inadequate, not only there, but he feels inadequate in the bedroom because she doesn't enjoy, he's not enough for her to satisfy all of her needs sexually, right? And so she had even wrote an entire article about sex toys in the bedroom and why it's awesome. And he turns around and says, I don't want to. I don't like that. And she's like, I guess I'll be unfulfilled in this part of our lives then. So now he's coming up short in professionally. He's coming up short intimately. And he's coming in as the big old, you know, downtrodden sad boy in this movie. And he thinks the only way out of this hole somehow is to propose to her to try to lock her down. When she's probably having every second thought about their relationship anyway. So the setup is almost doomed to failure to begin with. They even come in and before the other couple gets there, they're doing it like on a bearskin rug.
Yeah.
Right there in the living room. And he's a quick finisher. And you can see the actress, I think, you know, portrays it extremely well. The disappointment, the, I guess we're done. I'm not ready, but here okay. And it's really, really well done. And so this is like this, and every single time you learn something else about the couple, it gets worse because all of that isn't revealed up front. It's a slow drip reveal as they're being tortured psychologically by the other couple, we learn on purpose.
Thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bad Movie Futures. We started with 2024 films, and the goal is to keep doing these new movies at least once a month, because there are always new movies in the worst of the year crosshairs. So if the shoe fits, I'm happy to wear it. You can sign up for the members-only tier by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support. I hope to see you soon.